Look, there's two ways to look at this chart. On the one hand, you can say we were rejected by the midway of the range, which was about 62,000 this weekend. On the other hand, you can say, look, just a week ago, we were in the beginning of this huge carnage. In fact, we're at 48,000 and now we're back up at 60,000. How you look at the chart is up to you. It's the same around the altcoins. If you look at the altcoins, in the last week, we've had an amazing, amazing recovery. It doesn't make up for everything that we've lost in the last month. If you look at the last week, we've made an amazing recovery, and specifically on a couple of altcoins. And I want to talk about those altcoins examples. Sui, look at that. And Helium, 78%, and Ondo up 50%. I want to talk about those altcoins. Also, I want to talk about one altcoin ecosystem that I think a lot of people are actually missing. And the reason why they're missing it is because they're looking at things like an L1 ecosystem and an L2 ecosystem. But I'm going to show you an ecosystem which is maybe a little bit different and not that linear, that it's like L1, L2 and stuff like that. So happy Monday, guys. Let's go. Where the hell is everyone? Where the hell is everyone? Smash the like button. Let's get everybody here. So smash the like button. Let's get everybody watching the show. Also, if you're not already subscribed, what are you waiting for? 964,390. We want to get to 1 million subscribers so we can start giving away those banter bags. Guys, I just want to quickly just discuss something very serious with you before we actually start the show. Something very, very, very serious. A lot of women are complaining that I'm spending a lot too much time in their bedrooms. And one woman actually walked up to me while I was with my wife, and she said, look, you are spending a lot of time in my bedroom. So I need to ask you guys a big favor. If you guys are watching our videos, please don't watch the videos in the bedroom, because a lot of women are complaining that I'm spending time in the bedroom. So please, maybe just watch them in the TV room or the lounge or whatever else. Just makes it a bit more, you know, civilized. My wife caught the fright of her life when people were saying, oh, you spend so much time in the bedroom. And then the girl like clarified, okay, he wasn't actually him in my bedroom. My husband bought the laptop to watch Crypto Banter. So you guys got to be careful. Be careful where you watch. All right, let's get straight into the alpha, because we've got lots to discuss today. I do believe that there are two ways to look at this chart. I mean, on the one hand, if you take a line down the center of this chart here, this range here, we were kind of rejected by the middle of the range here. We were rejected by that 62,000 level. On the other hand, as I said, just a week ago, we were at the, I mean, this is last week, Monday, as you can see, last Monday, what a difference 1 week makes. We are now back up in the range, just under $60,000, but very, very, very much in the range. A week ago, it was the end of the world when the whole Japanese crisis happened. And a week later, we're back at $60,000 as if nothing ever happened. This was effectively, you could say, either the black swan of our season, or at least the beginning of the black swan of our season. And I made a couple of predictions last week. You may have remembered them. I said the worst is over now, specifically for the Nikkei. I think I was right. The US market won't melt down. It didn't melt down. There was no Fed emergency meeting. And the next prediction is that we're going to get a rate cut in September, but I don't think it's going to be 50 bips. I also said to you guys last week, where I am, I'm willing to put money that on the end of the week, at the end of this week, or in fact, Monday next week, the markets are trading higher than they're trading at this very point in time. The markets are trading higher than when they were at this point in time. So I think so far, so good when it comes to our predictions. A couple of things that are happening on the market that are probably worth looking at. On the one hand, there are a lot of shorts in this market, which means that a lot of big traders are thinking that this market is going to come down from here. So, but you know what happens when people build up shorts and the market goes against the shorts, we actually get those short squeezes. I'm not in the camp of the shorts. I'm not in the camp that this market's going to go up. I am in the camp that we need to close above the 62,000 range, but I'm also in the camp of this tweet over here, which is a fractal, which was actually posted on July 25th. Now, on July 25th, the yen cash and carry trade hadn't actually happened. So try and put your minds back to before July 25th, before the yen cash and carry trade actually happened. And just look at this fractal that was posted. The guy said, BTC and a NASDAQ fractal, please don't hurt me. And what he said was that we would go down below this line over here and almost like play out very similar to what actually happened over here. Now, remember, in hindsight, you could say, oh, well, I mean, it's so obvious, but he was saying this when Bitcoin was around 69,000, and he said, this is the fractal that may actually land up happening, and this is exactly what happened. Now, I believe that for me, this is the base case. This was like the black swan of our cycle. I think we broke down below this level over here. And I think now this is the one which takes us over the all-time high. So I think that this is the run that takes us into the all-time high. This is, for me, my starting point for this fractal. I think we got the liquidations. We shook out everybody a week ago. And I think from now on, it's just a slight battle. I don't think it's going to be a straight lineup. I think we're going to mess around here and maybe go up and down here. But I do think at some point this is the one that takes us to Valhalla. You can see that. Let's just call this line over here Valhalla. I do think that this is the line that takes us to Valhalla. And I do think that we land up exactly with this scenario over here, which happened in 2012, 2016, 2020. And I think the same thing happens now. So this is my base case. Again, you can run it out and you can record this. Andre, timestamp it, because you came to me this morning and you said, look, I timestamped what you told me to timestamp last week. I'm telling you to timestamp again. Where are the likes? 465 likes. What the hell is going on here? This show is paused until we get 1,000 likes. Also, until I get a drink. Show is paused until 1,000 likes. I see we only got 473 likes. We need to get, for the amount of alpha that we are talking about today, we need a lot more likes than 477 likes. A lot more. Way, way, way more likes. I'm waiting. I have all day. I have all day. All day. You think they're going to get to 1,000 likes or not?
We're getting closer.
I think they will. I think they will.
Okay. 650.
650. We're getting there. I mean, it'll take time, but we are getting there. What did you do this weekend?
I went to the gym.
You did washing.
Yeah, I did washing.
You did laundry, and you spent how much on the laundry? You spent like $1,000 to do laundry. $800 to do laundry. Crazy. Okay, so I see we are getting that like button smashed. So that is my scenario. My scenario also looks something like this. This is the weekly. And if you look at the weekly, I am actually thinking that there is a head and shoulders in the weekly and that we can actually get a breakout. So my scenario, this is the bullish scenario. I mean, if you reflect back to the Bank of Japan last week, effectively, all they did was raise rates by 0.25 basis points. And what actually calmed the markets was something so ridiculous. Remember, I called it the pinky promise. I said, like, the Bank of Japan made a pinky promise that they weren't going to raise rates anymore, right? And that's why the markets got calmed down. They are already coming out. And remember, I said to you, I don't believe that I think it's nothing else but a pinky promise, because I don't think it's like a real thing. I think that as soon as they're faced with inflation again, they're going to forget about the promise that they made to the markets, and they're going to protect Japan against inflation. That's all they're going to really care about. And so already today, after they said, look, Bank of Japan won't be able to hike again this year. Bank of Japan may conduct another rate hike by March. And this is coming from one of their ex-board members. So basically what they're saying is, it's calm for now, but we always have that risk that they could raise rates again and that yen cash and carry trade unwinds. But for now, it seems to be calm. I don't think we're going to get a repeat of the bank's cash and carry trade. Also, I was doing some research and I came across this tweet. It says that the Bank of Japan owns 80% of the country's ETFs, 7% of the entire stock market, according to Morningstar and the Tokyo Stock Exchange. Moreover, the Bank of Japan owns 55% of all the government bonds. These guys are literally basically printing money and using the printed money to buy up the Japanese stock market. Imagine you could print money and then you could use the money to buy up the stock market. It's like the biggest Ponzi scheme in history. And when this trade eventually does unwind, holy shit, that's going to be a bad one. That's going to be a terrible one. But for now, everything's fine. Also, for now, money market funds hit an all-time high. What that means is that there's a record amount of cash sitting on the sidelines. So you remember last week that Warren Buffett actually showed us his cash pile. And he had a massive, massive, massive cash pile. We're now seeing that there's a lot of money on the sidelines waiting to buy the dip. Eventually, all this money basically has to go back into the markets. And that will actually drive risk assets up. And it could even start as soon as this week, because we do have quite a big macro week. If you look at the macro week, this week we have a lot of data. We have PPI data. PPI data, not really that important. I mean, important, but not that important. Then Wednesday. Wednesday is CPI data. It's a big day because the market is looking at CPI to cement the rate cuts that we are expecting in September. As it stands right now, let's quickly just go to the rate cut calculator, probabilities. You see, now there's only a 50% chance of one rate cut and a 50% chance of two rate cuts. I've been saying for a long time that I think there's only going to be one rate cut and that the market was being overzealous. Now you're starting to see that the market's starting to agree with me. There will be a rate cut. It will happen in September, but it'll be one rate cut happening in September. And that is because the Fed doesn't want to be behind the curve. The only thing that could destroy this rate cut is the inflation numbers. So the market is expecting 3%. The last inflation numbers they got were 3%. The market is now expecting 3%. The Cleveland Fed, which is like the be-all and end-all of, I don't want your cookies, thank you. The be-all and end-all, or not the be-all and end-all, but really one of the big places that can forecast are saying that the inflation numbers are going to be 3.01. So we are expecting 3.01% inflation. Wednesday, big day. If we get 3% or under, rate cut pretty much guaranteed. If we get 3.2, 3.3%, rate cut not guaranteed. So we need to, that's quite a big thing that we need to look out for this week. And obviously we'll be here, we'll be broadcasting live when this thing happens, and we'll help you guys decode it. We'll help you guys decode it. Cool. So that is when it comes to Bitcoin, when it comes to the macro. Let's quickly now turn our attention to the reason why we're all here. And that is, of course, the altcoins. So if we look at the altcoins, on the weekly, amazing. I mean, just look at these recoveries. Helium up 78%. Sui up 121.75%. Ondo up, Tau up, Brett up. Amazing, amazing things. But if you look at on the monthly, still, a lot of these tokens are a long way down. I mean, these tokens are a long way down the monthly. Today, we've got a reasonable day. You can see the big movers. Sui, we'll talk about Sui in a second. Say moving up, Aptos moving up, Helium moving up, Celestia moving up. We'll talk about all of those for a while. But I think when it comes to altcoins, I think people have really started to lose hope in altcoins. They're saying, I mean, I read this. It says alts are basically uninvestable for me in the current conditions, for the time being overvalued, overdiluted. That's really what it feels like if you're in the altcoin market. It feels like it's just a very, very, very tough place to be. To me, it feels like it's almost the end of the capitulation where people have given up completely on altcoins. And you can see it if you look at the Bitcoin dominance chart. I mean, it topped last week, so as we can see, at 57.66. And you can see it's very much on the uptrend, very, very, very much on the uptrend in terms of Bitcoin dominance. But very soon, even according to Ben Kahn, very soon that trend is going to start changing. And we are going to start getting much more of an altcoin run. So that's in terms of altcoins. Another thing which is interesting to note is Bitcoin's only down 15% from its all-time high, but altcoin total market cap is down 60% from its all-time high. Just shows you, like, if Bitcoin goes up 15% and we go back just 60% just to the all-time high on altcoins, can you imagine how much of a run that's going to be? And that's essentially what we're holding on for. We're holding on for that one move in Bitcoin that will actually send the altcoins up. And it has been inevitable in every single cycle. And I don't see why it's not going to happen in this cycle. So it's just a case of patience. In this period, I would be accumulating altcoins. I must be honest, as tough as it is and as boring as it is, and as much as everyone's not looking at altcoins, this is the period where I'd be accumulating altcoins. I'll make you guys a list and we can start with that list very soon. But you can see that altcoins now are on major support. Bitcoin dominance must start coming down soon. And to me, it's definitely, definitely, definitely going to turn. So as I say, I think we've had an amazing recovery for the week. But I think that if you look at it on a much longer time period, these altcoins are still very, very, very cheap. I remember that we were talking about Arweave at $40 and thinking, you know, there's actually some value with Arweave at $40. Today, you can go and buy Arweave for $20. Now, how many people are actually putting down their money and buying Arweave at $20? Okay, only the smart people, because one day we're going to look at Arweave and say, how the hell did we not buy Arweave for $20? Or another one which we called is Injective, $18.50. I mean, who's not buying Injective for $18.50? Or things like Rune, where, I mean, we were talking about Rune at $8 or $9 a while ago. And if you look at Rune now, it's $3.23. You're talking about discounts that when the altcoins actually start running and when we actually get back to where we should be on the altcoins, it doesn't matter as long as you're buying quality. It doesn't really matter. You should be Right now, you should be using this opportunity to actually buy as much as you can, because I don't think that these prices are going to hold for very much longer. So another place where I'm super, super, super impressed is, I have to give a big shout out to all of us at Frontrunners. And the reason why I say that is, I think that the calls that we've had at Frontrunners, now Frontrunners is our banter Discord. I mean, I'll just show you some of the thing. We had a Popcat trade, we had a Kuji trade, we had an Ondo trade, we had a Sui trade, we had a Cetus trade. We had 100% hit rate on our trades this last month. You can see that's the Discord group. All the calls are actually in this Discord group. I just want to show you some of the calls. So Injective, I took a long on Injective over the weekend at $17.83. Within like a couple of hours, it was already at $19.26. Some people were already exiting the call. Irishman made an Ondo call. Huge call, 33.78%. This Popcat trade was absolutely insane. In fact, this was like one of the posts that was made around the Popcat trade. We literally called 100%. Now that is, I must say, super impressed that these guys managed to call 100% of the calls this week. This month in Frontrunners. If you want to join Frontrunners, guys, as I said to you before, join. If you're unhappy after a month, let me know and we will refund you. Okay, so we will refund you. But we'll only let people in when we open the waiting list. So here is a link. Click this link. Join us for a month. If you don't make as much money as the cost of being there, just text me and say, I want art. I'll refund you your money and you can go your way and it'll be amazing. One of the calls that we made in Frontrunners, and I want to show you this call because I think it was really, really, really one of the most impressive calls. But look at the date in this call. 22nd of June, I made a call in Frontrunners and I said, guys, the data is showing me that a lot of money is flowing into Sui from ETH. It's a second behind Solana. I also see that nobody's talking about Sui anymore. I think Sui may have a go soon. And it's been cut out here. But I said, I think we should actually start putting money into Sui. Now, no one spoke about Sui. And I won't actually forget, because the Irishman, he like phoned me. He's like, you know, the Irishman's very possessive over the front runners. He's like, why are you calling Sui? Are you sure that you want to be calling Sui? I was like, bro, listen to me. I know what's going on. I was watching the money flows. I was looking at Wormhole. I was seeing the money flows from Ethereum and where was the money going. Again, you can see the money is still going into Sui. At that stage, nobody was talking about Sui. Now, here we are a few weeks later. And Sui is the number one recovery altcoin that there is. Again, this look at it's the one, it's the biggest recovery coin in the month, the biggest recovery coin in the week, and it was given to you literally on a plate in Frontrunners, right, where nobody was talking about. Today, everybody's talking about, even Fred's mom. I mean, this is literally a message we got from Fred's mom. Okay, this Fred sent it to us just before the show. Fred's mom, I know she's watching the show. She said, I heard that Sui is the Solana killer. So now everybody, a month later, everyone is now starting to talk about Sui. Suzu says he closed his ETH, he closed his AVAX long, and now he's long Sui at 93 cents. Raul Paul, now remember, Raul Paul actually sits as an advisor to Sui. He says, Sui is ground building, ultra fast L1, super efficient blockchain. The idea is, that it built to scale for 4 billion people. Now, look, we have been big, big, big fans of Sui and the technology of Sui. We said that in the race between Sui and Aptos, we think that Sui is probably right now, as it stands today, in the lead. And we think that Move, as an operating language, is definitely one which is definitely one to be looking at. So Sui doing very well. Again, we noticed it a long time ago. I think our entry price was like 70 cents. It was somewhere around here. So yeah, our entry price was at about 70 cents. Truth is, I don't know if I'd be taking this trade now. I think this trade's a bit late. I think if you're coming in now, I think if you're riding it, ride it. But I don't think that you should be taking the Sui trade now. As much as I love Sui, and I do think that Sui may be the next L1 that actually has it, I don't think that Sui is a Solana killer, and we'll talk about that in a second. If you like Sui and you've missed the Sui trade, earlier on today I went back onto Frontrunner and I said, guys, I don't know if I kept the screenshot, but what I said is you should actually be looking at Cetus, because Cetus is the DEX on Sui. And I think that what you should be doing now is looking at the Sui ecosystem coins. And one of the biggest, I always say, look, DEX, meme coin, L1. The biggest DEX, Cetus. In terms of meme coins, I'm not sold on the Sui meme coins. Like I don't think there's a killer Sui meme coin. The Fad the Pug or Fad the Pig. What is it called? Fad the Pug or Fad the Pig? What's it called? Fad the Pug. I don't gel with Fad the Pug. I don't know why. So that's Sui. I think, again, I wouldn't be getting into the trade now. We did call it in front runners. I think it was one of the best calls that we had in front runners. You can see here's the evidence, so to speak. Again, I'm saying, guys, join front runners. Sign up here. If you're unhappy and you want to leave after a month, if you haven't made your money back, we'll refund your money. Just trust me. Just go and do it and sign up for at least a month. All these calls, like I said, we had 100% hit rate this month. Every single trade that we call literally went up this month. So, I mean, and again, it doesn't happen all the time, but that was very good. Going back to Fred's mom, who said that she heard that Sui is the Solana killer. Look, I don't think Sui is the Solana killer. I think it is another parallel ecosystem, and I don't think it's going to kill Solana. I think the difference between Sui and Solana is not big enough for Sui to actually kill Solana. I think if you want to kill Solana, you want to create something that is much better than Solana. And Sui is better than Solana, but it's not 10 times better than Solana. That's why I don't think it's a Solana killer. I think it is just another very good blockchain. And they focused a whole lot more on gaming. Or a lot of the stuff that they're doing is around gaming. And I think there's many other amazing applications that are actually happening. When it comes to Sol, Sol has become, I want to say, the retail L1, because it's affordable and it's cheap and people are using it. And of course, we know that the biggest use case on Solana is, of course, meme coins, right? So like everybody's using it on meme coins. But I've got bad news around the meme coin cycle. And I think you will probably agree with me when it comes to Solana. But I think that the shining light for Solana has been meme coins. And I think meme coins have been an amazing, amazing, amazing application. What meme coins have shown us is that A, we can create a game that you can only play using blockchain and you can use it globally. We can create value out of nothing and we can trade and transfer the value that we've created out of nothing and we can move it around the world. That is pretty much what meme coins have showed us. And in a protocol, what they did was that they allowed us to see that if you have a low fee, high throughput L1, that everyone can use, then it's actually fun to be on blockchain. Now, you'll agree with me, meme coins are a lot of fun. But the reality is that now we've come to a point in meme coins where it's not that much fun anymore. I don't know how you guys feel, but I'm not as excited playing meme coins as I was playing meme coins back then. Josh, are you still as excited playing meme coins?
It's not the same.
It's not the same. How does, are you still excited? It's not the same anymore. You know why it's not the same anymore? Because it's a function of a saturated market. Look at the stats on meme coins. So in 1.7 million different meme coins have been launched just on one application. This is just on Pump.Fun. Now bear in mind that Pump.Fun, even though it's probably the biggest in terms of market share, it's not the only player. 1.7 million meme coins have been launched. Only 23,000 of them have made it to Radium. 141 of them made it to CoinGecko. That means 141 out of 1.7 million coins made it to CoinGecko. Maintain 1 million market cap for multiple weeks, only 41. And maintain 10 million market cap, only 15. Look, meme coins aren't fun anymore. Meme coins, in fact, are the world's worst casino. You can get better odds in a normal casino. You can just go to a normal casino. You can get 100 times better odds than playing this meme coin game. And so what I think is going to happen is I think we've reached a point of oversaturation. I think that meme coins are fun when you can catch and when you can make 100Xs. But I think that people aren't having as much fun playing meme coins anymore because the market is oversaturated. And so what I think is going to happen is you're going to see some kind of market consolidation. When that market consolidation comes, I think you're going to see Solana getting a bit of a slowdown. And then everyone's going to call for the death of Solana. And I mean, it's garbage because it's not the death of Solana, because what we have proven is we can create an application that the whole world can play, creating value and selling and transferring value around the world. But I do think that you've got to be careful because I do think this meme coin hype thing is going to start coming down now, because it's not as much. Meme coins are fun to play when you're winning, but when your odds of winning have become so small, it's actually not even, it's not fun anymore to play. And to be honest, I mean, when was the last time you had fun playing meme coins? I mean, it's dead. It's like, it's almost like it's become so hard to make money on meme coins because the odds are so stacked against you, because people are launching so many meme coins. It's not that much fun anymore. So, Colombian flu. After a weekend, we always have Colombian flu. It's not Colombian flu. I actually did get the flu. But also remember that we have Breakpoint for Solana in September. Let me know in the comments if you're coming to Breakpoint and if you're coming to Token 2049. I did actually apply to be a speaker there, and they said it's full. So I don't know if I should take that personally. Or maybe it's just me. Anyway, hold on. Someone's tweeting me. Run was like, say no more. Yeah, okay. All right, so yeah, that is Solana. What else is there? ETH. ETH can't catch a break. Now, you know what people are hating on ETH about? They hating on ETH, get this, because the gas fees are too low. So now people are hating on ETH. Median gas fees are at the lowest price ever. When gas fees are high, people complain about ETH. When gas fees are low, people complain about ETH. Guys, let's just stay focused. Let's look at ETH. If we look at the Grayscale ETH E-Trust, we have depleted 25% of their coins in like 2 weeks. Since the 24th of July, we have depleted 25% of their coins. This depletion is almost finished. When it's finished, it's going to turn. You understand that, right? It's just a matter of time. It's nearly, the selling on ETH is nearly done, and then we're going to start getting some upward trend. Remember, I told you this. You have been warned. ETH-E, the Grayscale ETA, the Black, ETH-A, has taken over nearly 1 billion in assets. You see, it's got nearly 1 billion in assets. So just remember that. All right, I did promise you that we would talk about one ecosystem that no one's watching. And the reason why they're not watching it is because they don't know to look for it. And the reason why they don't know to look for it is because the market is so conditioned to looking at an L1 ecosystem and an L2 ecosystem and a gaming ecosystem, that there's one ecosystem that markets don't know to look for. And this ecosystem is actually not an ecosystem around a technology, although it does involve a technology, but it's actually an ecosystem that is developed around a founder, right? So like a lot of people are looking for ecosystems that are developed around technologies and around layer ones and layer twos. I'm saying, hold on a second. There is an ecosystem that the market's missing. And the reason why the market's missing it is because it's not about a technology, although it does involve technology. It's about a founder. Okay. Who's the founder? The founder is the founder of ThoughtChain. His name is JP. You saw him on the show when he came in and spoke about the new VaultiSig wallet that he's talking about. Now, look, I met him. He flew to South Africa to see me. I've never met someone who has got so much. Number one, he has insane, insane, insane energy, insane commitment, and insane drive. So much so that the guy is willing to leave his wife and daughter for long, long, long periods of time because he is so obsessed with the mission. I've never seen anything like it. The second thing about him is that generally when I look at founders in the space, they're either too technical, or they're usually too technical and don't have any marketing skills, or they technical, maybe have marketing skills, but don't understand the game theory and the tokenomics. Okay, JP understands everything. The guy is smart as an engineer. The guy is incredibly, incredibly, incredibly smart as a marketer. And he knows tokenomics and game theory better than anyone that I've ever met. He's also got a proven track record. So he built ThoughtChain. And I mean, for those of you who don't know how amazing ThoughtChain is, let me tell you that ThoughtChain is a one-of-one horse race. Okay, it's the only real decentralized cross-chain protocol that allows for cross-chain swaps in a real decentralized way with genius tokenomics. So, I mean, ThoughtChain is a one-on-one race, and ThoughtChain has been one of my top 10 picks for this cycle and for last cycle as well. It was really one of my top 10 picks. Now, what the market is not understanding is that I think the market doesn't understand that what JP is doing, he is building an ecosystem around himself. And in doing this, he is reviving and creating an ecosystem of amazing Cosmos products. Now, why do I say Cosmos? Because what most people don't know is that ThoughtChain is actually built using Cosmos technology. So it's built using the Cosmos SDK. It was one of the first protocols that is built using the Cosmos SDK. So ThoughtChain is amazing. The growth in ThoughtChain is, I mean, just absolutely amazing. With its next, I don't know if the upgrade's been done, but with its next upgrade, it's going to be IBC compatible, which means it's going to work across Cosmos protocols. It's going to be Solana compatible. So, I mean, they're talking about, I saw Solana compatible. It's going to be compatible with a whole lot of wallets. I saw this replying to Phantom soon. So it's going to be Solana compatible. So that's ThoughtChain. And ThoughtChain is amazing and continuing to grow. And actually, like, if you look at it, ThoughtChain and Rune as an ecosystem, you would say, even just as an ecosystem, I would say, someone says, wow, this dump, what the hell is going on? What is actually going on? Oh my goodness, this dump. We're back from 58.9 back to 58. And maybe the funds are deleveraging instead of who's sending me messages here? Okay, so actually he's just sending me someone just sent me a random tweet now. It says ThoughtChain gonna get order book soon. So you can see that just as a protocol by itself, ThoughtChain is an amazing, amazing, amazing protocol, but it doesn't end there. ThoughtChain is part of the Cosmos ecosystem, and with the next upgrade, it will be IBC compatible. Now, IBC is the inter-blockchain bridge, which is effectively the bridge that bridges all the Cosmos chains together. What JP is actually starting to do is he's starting to build an ecosystem of Cosmos protocols around ThoughtChain. Now, some of them came by surprise. Like last, I don't know if you remember, but there was the whole problem on Kujira where the founders leveraged the token treasury. And it seems like JP is the one who's bailed them out. And in bailing them out, what he's actually done is he's created a full DeFi ecosystem for ThoughtChain using Kujira's technology. So he's now integrated Kujira and ThoughtChain. But he hasn't ended it there. He's also now integrated Levana Protocol. Now, Levana Protocol, for those people who don't know, is the perpetuals protocol on Cosmos. We're investors in ThoughtChain, Kujira, and Levana before any of this actually happened. But so now you've got a liquidity layer at the bottom, you've got a DeFi layer, and now you've got a perpetuals layer over here. So if you got if you look at Levana over here, you guys can see it over here. So you've got the liquidity and the collateral layer over there. So you're talking about building an ecosystem using ThoughtChain as the hub, but now building a DeFi ecosystem, a perpetuals ecosystem, et cetera, et cetera. So I think while most people are actually looking at this as a L1 and an L2, I'm looking at this and saying, hold on, there's a founder who's building an ecosystem around a protocol, which is Rune, and it doesn't end there. You can see that let me just see if I've got a few. He's working on a whole lot of projects. I think somebody actually detailed here. He said, ThoughtChain, WeWe, which is the meme coin, VaultySig, which is the wallet, which is the MPC wallet, DeckerSwap, which is his very, very, very ambitious project, which is to create a almost like a merger behind here. This is the vision, taking a DeckerSwap brand, mixing all these things to actually aggregate liquidity back down into ThoughtChain. So he's working on a whole lot of these. I think you need to keep your eye on him as a founder, because I think he's doing amazing things. And I think everybody's watching ecosystems around technologies or around L1s. But sometimes you get extremely driven, extremely visionary founders. And those are the guys that you should be looking at, because everything that they touch seems to turn to gold. And I mean, I must say, I back him. I'm behind most of his projects. I was behind most of his projects actually before we met. And since we met, he's only reaffirmed everything that I thought about him. So anyway, keep your eyes on that. A couple of other things. So we did speak about DBridge. How many of you actually swapped money from one protocol to another protocol on DBridge? How many of you actually did this? So if you did do it, season one checker is live, but season one is only the first checker. There's obviously going to be a season two. What you guys need to do is go and use DBridge, because DBridge is the simplest way to move money from any chain to any chain. So I showed you guys, if you want to move money from, like, I've got ETH and my ETH are currently on Base, and I want to move the ETH on Base. So if I want to move ETH on Base to USDC on Sol, I can just click here. I can put the address into here. Okay, I can put the address into here, and then press one button, and within 3 to 4 seconds, that swap will be done, much cheaper than going to a centralized exchange. If you want to do it, first of all, go and check your balance. But if you want to qualify for the next airdrop, just go and click this button over here. Use the bridge. It's the best bridge you're ever going to use. Super cheap as well. And then you're going to get the next level of this airdrop. And you can see exactly how much you're going to get because you can just go and see the points. So season two's done. Season one's over here. Season two is the one that you'll qualify for. I suggest you really go and do this and go and do it pretty quickly. Lastly. So Sheldon and I are actually doing another sniper school together. So if you want to join sniper school and learn how to trade with us, you'll get amazing learning.
One of your biggest weaknesses, because you're fearing out on something that can make you a lot of money over some time. So we just got to separate that in that sense. Or some it's okay to take off. My mom is also great with it. She takes profits quickly, early, all the time. And that works amazing for one part of your portfolio. But for the other side, you got to learn to swing that a bit more and do that. So we'll definitely chat through that, Michelle.
So if you want to join Sniper School, now Sniper School will not only teach you how to trade, because Sheldon Sniper School was the school that taught me how to trade. It'll also teach you how to run little businesses in your trading. It'll give you meaning as to why you're trading, et cetera, et cetera. So we're running the last final free Sniper School cohort. After this, there will not be free Sniper Schools anymore. You want to join? There's that link that I just clicked over there. You got one day. You literally have one day to sign up. After this, it's going to cost $999 to join this course. This is the last free cohort. Make sure that you join. You have a day to do it. I will see you guys again tomorrow. Until then, stay safe and trade well, my friends. Josh, that's when you press the button, sir. Josh, when I say trade well, my friends, then what you do is you press the button and then it basically cuts the show. You know what I'm saying? Should I show you how to do it? I can help you. I can show you how to do it. I don't know how to.